Welcome to a special edition of the Digital Social Media Sports Podcast. It is less than 24 hours after NFL schedule release when all 32 teams in the NFL released their masterpieces. And it seemed like everyone participated this year. And no one really sat out and just said, well, we'll throw up a graphic. And some teams, of course, put more resources into others. But I was so excited. It seems like every year and throughout the year, of course, I'm always texting and talking to my friend Alex Coppolo from SpawnCon Sports about his thoughts and his perspective, his insights on everything that teams are doing, but certainly on schedule release eve and the day after. And of course, he sent out a newsletter, his edition of the SpawnCon Sports newsletter, very early this morning as he was up late last night analyzing the schedule release videos with his lens on business and opportunity and sponsorship and all that. And so I decided let's record it. We will probably have a conversation anyway, so let's just put it on recording and release it to the masses. And here he is, my guest, Alex Coppolo, someone I'm lucky enough to call a friend who is just on top of everything with SpawnCon Sports. And welcome to the podcast today, Alex.
Hey, appreciate it. We got the text chain to the pod, which I always love. And you have to appreciate being an East Coast person, having a friend on the West Coast, when you can be texting someone at what is 1 a.m. my time. And it's perfectly reasonable to hit you up with my takes on the schedule release. So we actually did not share any takes with each other before this. We normally do just to get ready for the pod.
So very fresh. I know that you in particular and me as well, we were pretty impressed this year. You know, it's kind of been, you know, ups and downs, peaks and valleys throughout the years. And I feel like, I think this is like the maybe the unofficial 10-year anniversary of schedule releases really taking off on, depending on when you pinpoint the day zero. But before we kind of get into like our specific takes on individual teams that we like, I guess just big picture, before we get into like what performed this year, why should we care about this? Like, what do you think that teams get out of schedule release content? Why is it worth all the hubbub and investment? And of course, there's varying degrees of investment and resource allocation. But just from your experience, both being in the trenches and looking from a wider lens, why do we care?
Yeah, schedule release, I mean, let's get down to the basics here. It's an opportunity to engage your fans in the off season, which is huge. You know, you don't want it to be a dead time. You don't want to lose that engagement. You want to keep the audience warm and kind of gearing up for the rest of the off season and kind of take them there. And the NFL has done this best by essentially creating a primetime moment, right? We've now got the NFL Network covering this in prime time, where it didn't even used to be a thing a long time ago. So that is a factor, having an off-season moment. I also think this is like the one moment for content teams to just have fun. Yeah. They get budget, they get to do wild, like really cool ideas, and they get to put a lot of thought into it and just show how good that they are. You know, they're not worried about the wins and the losses. Excitement is really high. You're coming off the draft. So I think embracing something like this is just a chance for your content team to just like go wild, take a big swing. And at the end of the day, if you lose schedule release, it doesn't really matter in the end.
Yeah, no one's going to look back and think about what your record was over the last 10 years of schedule releases. Like, did you have a win or a loss or a mediocre time frame? But yeah, I mean, your point is spot on. I remember having you know, Jason Levine on the podcast a few years back, and he's of course SVP of brand and content for the Chargers, and talking about what they get out of it. And for him, it's really an opportunity as you mentioned, for the Crave team to flex their muscles and to have fun. And also, it shows that this is a team, this is an organization that supports creatives, that, you know, brings in talent and lets you, you know, spread your wings, so to speak. And so, you know, that kind of attractiveness to be a place where creatives can thrive. And also, to an extent, I'd love to get your thoughts on this as well. It's a showcase to potential sponsors, to agencies that are, I'm sure agencies in particular are like pouring through it to see like who's doing really cool stuff. And, you know, if we have a sponsor or a brand that wants to do something creative and it wants to reach a fan base in the NFL, like, who can we go to? And so I imagine it's also just like almost like a pitch out there to look at how the cool stuff that we can do if you work with us.
Yeah, you know, I'm almost eating my own words here. It's not that if you lose schedule release, that's not like at the end of the day, you're going to be okay. But there is a lot to gain by being really good at this, right? If you're the Chargers, if you're a team like the Titans from a few years ago with a Broadway, you know, person on the street interviews, right? That really shows that you have a strong content team. You know how to integrate brands. You're going to come up with things that resonate and can go viral beyond the NFL endemic audience. Like, this is one of those moments where you can go beyond NFL endemic. So it's something you can put in a pitch deck from a sponsorship lens to drive revenue and give brands the confidence that you're going to deliver. And quite frankly, this is one of a key sponsorship kind of tentpole as well in terms of driving revenue, in terms of monetization.
And I imagine too, there's opportunities as well. And you don't see this necessarily play out all the time, but to really establish your brand. Like, we know the Chargers as being irreverent and, you know, having those, you know, those savage takes, and because of the schedule release. And that's really where you establish that. And other teams, like, you, we won't get into specifics yet, but like the Detroit Lions or whatever, being able to say, like, we're all about grit, and we're all about, you know, winning football games and not necessarily having fun, so to speak. And so, like, if you want to establish who we are and have your fan base rally around something, schedule release is a time to really activate that brand, whether it's a rebrand or just, you know, reinforcing your current brand, I guess.
100%. I mean, this is a time where you can really kind of prove out just how good you are, how well you know your fan base, how well you know the conversations around the league. I mean, there's so many examples of people throwing in references to other teams, you know, not just the Chargers, lots of teams are doing it. And so it really helps you just show how valuable you are. And I mean, you gotta imagine, you know, a team like the Chargers, where they're getting, you know, on TV and interviewed by this, right? It's doing a lot for the club just in terms of its marketing and building a fan base. And so it's visibility to your senior leadership as well that you should be hyping up for your own personal gain in terms of your career.
Yeah. Last thing before we get into this year's edition of the schedule release is kind of like who you're catering to. And like, you kind of started mentioning this a little bit around, like, are you trying to show that you know your fans? You're trying to really cater to your fans and look at how awesome our fan nation is, as opposed to necessarily saying, you know, especially now with the NFL trying to, you know, take over the world, like, how can we make sure that fans don't know who we are yet, or maybe are casually know who we are in Germany or in the UK, become fans of us as well? And so it's an interesting dichotomy of, like, let's go in on the, if you know, you know, esoteric stuff that our fans will know, versus trying to appeal to the masses because there's a chance maybe we can, you know, recruit new fans as well.
Yeah, I think both versions have worked, right? You could go a Chargers route where it's a lot of deep references, but when they're so, like, brutal and cut deep, that gets you the earned attention that people are talking about it, where you have to check it out. Talk about the Tennessee Titans and doing the, you know, interviews on the street, right? That is a concept that anybody can get. And so that travels. I think another thing you have to think about is really what is true to your brand, and kind of like what are the truths that lie in there? You think about the Buffalo Bills, and they always have their players in content. They're always there. They let Josh Allen kind of do his thing. Did that again in schedule release this time. And I think that's one of the reasons why it resonated. So you have to be true to what your brand is, but you can take either approach, but you have to do it at a high level either way.
Yeah. Well, let's get into it. I guess, like, starting off, big picture thoughts, like, what are some themes that resonate with you? What are some practices that really stood out to you? Just, you know, it's taking a kind of a 40 foot or a 300 foot view, bird's eye view, whatever the term is. What was your kind of early takeaways?
Yeah. So I think the most important thing was just the originality in the concepts. Like, we see year over year people rehashing the same styles. I mean, how many times are we going to see people going around a city and finding something that looks like the opposing city and putting a logo against it, right? It there's a lot of themes that I could get into that are very tired, and it's just like, hey, why are we going back to this well? And I think as a league, this might have been the best year ever in terms of original concepts and how teams brought it to life. Maybe, I don't know if it's peak one single video that was the best of all time, but it certainly was across the league the best originality. And then with that, the other key theme for me on the sponsorship side was teams did a really, really good job of baking brands into the video, not just overlaying logos in very creative ways, that really made sure that the brands were not interrupting the moment and they were truly a part of it, right? You think about the New York Jets, and they did kind of the paint mixing, and during their bye week in week 13, they had a true blue and a getaway green, and so that ties into their loyalty program and a nod to that. The Atlanta Falcons with their This Is SportsCenter style commercials was integrating Ticketmaster and Easter eggs like every few moments that you couldn't miss. And even the Baltimore Ravens, right, surprised an actual fan wedding with tickets to the game courtesy of SeatGeek. So the teams did a much better job of being thoughtful about how brands showed up. So I would say the originality and the integration really stood out this year.
Yeah, no, really, really apt observations. And I think, like, for maybe the, for the first time in a long time, there weren't any like duplication. Like there weren't like, oh, this team and this team both did the same thing somehow. They didn't necessarily realize it, but I think we had pretty much 32 original ideas this year, which was great to see. And yeah, I guess for me, a lot of similar things that I noticed as well. I think in many cases, because you didn't even know it was sponsored sometimes, the sponsorship inclusion like came at the end of the content. Like it was like, okay, oh, that was sponsored by this brand. That makes sense. Like wherever you see that the Minnesota Vikings had, you know, Omni at the end of their content. And I think too, like seeing that the concepts almost started with the partner, activation. Like seeing the Cleveland Browns like work saying we're gonna do Street Fighter and it's gonna be with Street Fighter, and it's like, wow, that's really cool. That really worked. Or you know, the Chargers with Halo. We certainly get into the Chargers. I also thought too is maybe this is just prisoner of the moment and being so close to this year, but you really saw players got to really showcase their personalities more than ever. Like they were truly the stars, and I think a lot of teams are realizing that these players have not so legit talent, but legit personalities that you want to get them, whether it's the Falcons with Bijan Robinson and Drake London really doing some impressive stuff. The New York Giants, who just are like, we got Jameis Winston and no one else does, but he's not necessarily going to be our starting quarterback. But you know what? He's a rock star and a talent on the mic as well. And, you know, seeing some opportunities to, you know, show, like as you mentioned before, can we really showcase our brand, as opposed to, you know, something more international with global appeal? I was thinking in my mind, like, how many is Step Brothers it's a very well known meme and source of meme in movies in the States, but do people in the UK and Europe know Step Brothers? Maybe I don't know. I don't know what that answer is, but something I was thinking about. And then lastly, short form clips and Easter eggs. I think Easter eggs, of course, the Chargers almost sort of invented that to some extent. And you end up rewatching so much because you want to see what did I miss, or let me see it. Someone said they had this, and like more teams putting Easter eggs in there to force you to go back and watch and rewatch, and you know it's conducive to the clips and short form and all that. And so that kind of packaging definitely stood out to me as well.
Yeah, you said a lot of really good things there. I mean, in terms of appealing to an international audience, teams have been doing this for a little bit, a few years now, but they will create special schedule release videos for their international social handles. They'll use their cheer teams. They'll use their mascot accounts. So they're creating different versions to hit different parts of the audience. So that certainly came through. And even what you said about like sometimes you didn't even know a sponsor was coming. There was a lot of great sponsorship stuff, but still like not enough tagging of a brand in the post. Like that is never going to tank your performance by tagging the brand. Still just not enough happening. I think it's 58% of sponsored videos had the brand tagged in those assets. And it's just not high enough. That really does make you miss it. I was very close to thinking the Minnesota Vikings had no sponsor and they were the only one without a sponsor. Them and the LA Rams. But the Rams didn't have a sponsored video, but their assets were, the graphics were sponsored by Ticketmaster. So definitely wish there was a little bit better on the tagging front to ensure that people could recognize the brand. Because look, it's great to be part of these moments, but if the brand is so like, is hidden and not integrated, that's not where you want to be either.
Is that technically kosher? Like are you supposed to tag it as this is a sponsored piece of content, or is just there isn't brand associated with this, or is that just kind of something that you can if you want to but you don't have to?
You know, it's something it's talked about with the teams. Honestly, some teams are pretty against it. Some content teams are not into it and they'll push back on it. I'm personally of the belief you should be tagged every single time. I have not seen any evidence that tagging is going to impact performance. Right. If you have that data, that's great. Then that's what you have. I listen to the data first, but yeah, definitely not seeing a lot of that. And if I was the brand, I'd be pushing for it. But something you'll also see in schedule release, like low key, is that this asset sometimes becomes a throw-in because it goes back to how this is sold. And sometimes this is sold in the off season when all the brand's budgets are kind of tanked. And so it's either fulfilling maybe a make good, or it's just like tacked on at the end at a lower price, or just like a nice to have and it fits your ticketing partner. But it has to, the best way to sell this is like a year round platform focused on schedule updates and things like that.
Yeah. No, I definitely we'll get in later in this episode into this kind of the deal mechanics and from someone like you who definitely knows the space really well. But let's get into a little fun, like a little we'll call it like a draft of going back and forth. I'm not necessarily trying to build the best teams, but trying to talk about some of the standouts, what we thought about them, and so we'll go back and forth, pick one at a time, and we'll go four rounds, and we'll hopefully have eight fun teams to talk about. So you're the guest. Welcome to this podcast, this draft. So I will let you go ahead and go first.
Well, I think there's a clear first two picks. So I'm very curious if you fulfill that. But got to go Chargers 1-1. Look, I think everybody's ready to be like, oh, the Chargers again. Look, they had a Halo theme. They cleared the rights. In fact, Jason Levine posted about, a representative over on the Halo team reached out to them to do it. So they got reached out to by the Halo team. They put it together. All the work that it takes to shoot and edit that and all the Easter eggs that you see throughout that process. I mean, it's just so good. The thing had over 10 million views before I went to bed last night. So that thing was absolutely crushing. And it's just a job well done. And we shouldn't take it for granted just because they're at the top of the list every single year.
I mean, an obvious 1-1, as you mentioned. I mean, heck, like I almost want to see like the next day, like or even the day of a Twitch streamer live streaming and pointing out every Easter egg and like having that conversation. Like that, there's so much such a cottage industry that comes out right after with people sharing screenshots. Did you see this? Did you see that? You missed that. What did that QR code go to? I guess it went to the Chiefs tweet with their sourdough schedule release, which got a lot of panning. So definitely a good one there. I was trying to figure out what I wanted to go with my first pick, second pick overall. And then really, I just want to talk about a few different ones that I enjoyed. So I'm not going to yet, maybe I'll pick them later. My favorite team, my personal favorite team, but I want to bring up the Steelers. Cause I thought they did a good job of really bringing forth Pittsburgh culture, and it was everything. People that didn't watch the whole thing, it was very much like a new person was starting their first day, and they were being taken around and seeing all these Pittsburgh Steelers tropes and memes and things that are very, very much Pittsburgh forward. And I thought that was a strong brand activation. They're not going to win any awards for it necessarily, but their fans probably loved the heck out of it. And for fans who are newer to the Steelers or don't know them quite as well, don't know some of the Pittsburgh cultural things, cultural tropes, it translated. You can go there and be like, okay, so they put French fries and everything. That's kind of funny. Or, they talk like this, or they do this, they do that. So if I was trying to build a winning team, I may not pick them first, but I really enjoyed the fact that they said, we're going to be Pittsburgh first. We're going to make something that our fans really can love and enjoy. And I like the fact they are going to, make their fans bigger fans of Pittsburgh and Steelers and what they're all about. So that's my 1-2, I guess.
Mel Kiper would be going crazy. Not on my board. But that's not to say the Steelers didn't do a good job. What they had done really well is they got back and did focus on their fans. Last year, they had Laurel Highlands as the sponsor, same as this year. But last year they were hunting for a Sasquatch out in the Laurel Highlands. They went a little too far with the sponsorship integration there, and kind of got away from them this year. Still the sponsor, that logo was up throughout the whole video, but it was very much focused on Pittsburgh culture. And so I think they did do a really good job with that. And I'm sure, that absolutely resonated with their fans.
I'm partial to some of the teams that really celebrate their brand and their culture. So that was the Steelers one for me. Well, we'll do a snake draft. So I won't take a second one. We'll send it back around to you.
Wonderful. Either way, I was getting another top pick that I had in my board. You went off the board. So I'm going with the Tennessee Titans.
I thought that was the one you had in mind.
But look, they did the Broadway video in 2023. Everybody's tried to copy it since. Yep. It was so good. And this year they come back, and instead of asking people to guess the logo to all the tourists who don't know the NFL, they use their admin to seek out doppelgangers of famous people connected to those teams. And that was such a good twist. It was funny. It was the one where I actually laughed out loud watching it. And that's that one that really does have that broad appeal. I will say it did not get the views to rank it in what I would have assumed the second spot. Twist, that was actually the New York Jets. So shout out to Nick Cicero and Mondo Metrics. So that was a surprise to me, but I thought this one was a really great build on the original concept that I'm really hoping not everybody copies in the year ahead.
Yeah, you take advantage of the fact that there's only one team has Broadway, or you know, the Nashville Broadway, that is, of course, not New York Broadway. And I think what a cool lesson is for them too, and this was pointed out by multiple people I saw, is that shows that you can create a great schedule video with very little investment and budget. Like it cost them very little compared to some of these massive things that, like, you look at whatever the Cowboys did, or you know, the all the time spent, you know, creating these really extensive things. And so I thought, you know, that's a good example of that. And of course, the original Broadway, the one that they started all, was not even their main video that year, and it was kind of a pleasant surprise. And they've, you know, been able to iterate since. So definitely hats off to Nate Bain and the team there with the Titans.
You're right. That was the B-side video in 2023. And it's the forgotten deal. They did this whole, like, sweeping, I think, drone video through a bar, and all these celebrities were in it. What was not nearly as good as this concept.
All right, for my next pick, I'm kind of vacillating which one I want to do. I hope that my next one is going to stay on the board. So I'm going to go with the Atlanta Falcons. This is Falcons football, This is Sports Center, takes. And even if you don't know that this is Sports Center, if you're a sports fan, I don't know how you couldn't, or at least if you're a sports fan of a certain age, I don't know how you couldn't. But just such an opportunity for different players to shine, and to get an opportunity to shine also in very minimal things. They don't have to, you know, sit there and be part of a long shoot necessarily, or memorize a bunch of lines. It's, you know, quick take, get in, get out. It's very conducive to short form sharing. People can clip it for days, and they can, you know, it can be get, you know, however many there were, 15, 20 TikTok or reels or shorts as well. It shows kind of that fun of football. And again, thinking about how is this appealing to not people who know the game, but people who don't know the game yet. And again, the international fans, but the Falcons are a team that have done a lot to gain international fan base as well. And sort of show, like, some of the tropes, some of the fun things that you can laugh about with NFL, and just a great way also to put some of your star players in front. I mean, the Kendrick and Drake, like, that was, I laughed out loud at that one. That was awesome. And getting Matt Ryan really involved as well, show that he's really approachable and fun, and showing the relationship with him and Kevin Stefanski. So I thought that one was great. And also, like I said, I think that one's going to be something that you can share clips for days, and people will still be discovering some of the ones they might've missed or didn't see closely enough on TikTok and reels and shorts for months to come.
Yeah, this was a really strong one. This goes back to, like I said, being true to your brand and who you are. Everything from, you know, Bijan Robinson and how you pronounce his name, or the fact that they had the overhead camera and he was super obsessed with that. Their mascot going up to the roof, right? Because he's always falling from the top and coming down. So they really stayed true to that. The players, you could see, enjoyed it. Everyone from Matt Ryan to Bijan to Drake London. So they did a really great job on that. Ticketmaster was coming up in so many creative ways throughout that series. They were on coffee cups and reception desks and on the screen in the meeting room. So they did a good job for the sponsor. What I'm curious to see is, will they take all these commercials, will they run them as real commercials and market, right, both on digital and connected TV, but also like on traditional broadcast and everywhere you can run it? Like, I would hope you could use that also for your ticket sales creative, and kind of really, you know, draw out the most value possible there.
Yeah, no, I haven't checked even the Meta Ads library, but I imagine that'd be a good source of that as well. Not just for, you know, now, but certainly in the days and weeks to come. And it's just a great format that has worked several times over the years. And of course, ESPN being the one that started it all. Just a good one there, and a fun one. All right, you're up, Alex. Next one, what do you got?
All right, I'm going Buffalo Bills. Buffalo Bills with the brainstorm meeting. And the thing is, look, the brainstorm meeting is not a new concept. The Panthers did this years ago, but they did a few things really well. Ticketmaster, again, on the screen in the meeting room behind the leader of the meeting. And so just natural placement consistently there. Josh Allen stole the show, not a surprise, with a giant chrysalis. And he's recommending that as the schedule release video. I actually went and searched Google Trends to see if the word chrysalis increased in searches. It did not. I thought it might, because it was just so outrageous, and like having to think, what is that? Like, everybody knows it's attached to butterflies, but like, do you know what it actually is? But they found a way to make it their own. I thought it was just actually funny and delivered on the entertainment value of schedule release. Like, one thing we didn't talk about with schedule release is it's not about sharing your schedule. Right. It's about being entertaining. And so it's the epitome of what the Bills do day in and day out, getting players involved, being funny, and knowing how to cut through. And so definitely stood towards the top for me.
Yeah, a good one there, a fun one for sure. And just like, if nothing else, if you describe the Bills, like, their social media is proudly weird, and it accomplished that task. It was weird, but it was funny. It was fun, but it was weird in all the fun and best ways. And of course, you know, having Josh Allen, who's someone who seems like he's always down to do something fun, was a great thing to see. So good pick there for sure.
Yeah, but you know, it wasn't even as random as you thought, right? Like, Josh Allen literally in the video brings it together, a chrysalis, you know, it's a metaphor for change, and right, they're going to a new stadium. So even, you know, the takeaway for someone there is not do a brainstorm meeting and then bring up the most ridiculous idea. Like, you do have to connect it back, and that helped ground the idea and make it make sense.
Yeah. My next one, I think we're in the third round here, or my third pick at least. And we talked about a little about it earlier, but I'm gonna go Cleveland Browns and the Street Fighter game. I mean, good mix of nostalgia and also like a lot of Easter eggs as well. I mean, maybe not quite as densely packed with Easter eggs as like a Chargers activation, but a reason to rewatch things and things that you might have missed, and also some. I mean, frankly, like when I saw them turn the Colts mascot into glue, that one took me back a little bit. I was like, oh wow, they went there. Turning the horse into glue, and just a lot of fun seeing a video game that has, and again, this goes to the way I think about these things, international appeal in theory, at least. You know, Street Fighter is a known commodity, a known property that fans around the world could recognize and could have some fun with as well. And then when it came at the end, and I was like, oh, so that was they worked with a partner on that. That was part of a sponsor to promote the game and really promote the movie. I thought that was great, and it's one of those things where the concept almost came before the partnership or because of the partnership, and that really spoke to me as well. So I enjoyed it. I had fun. It was good. As someone who grew up playing Super Nintendo Street Fighter, not to age myself, I enjoyed that one and all the Easter eggs within it as well.
Well, it's a great segue for me. The Browns, it wasn't for me, but that does not mean it was bad. I just think it's just not my thing. And so I don't know, it wasn't one of my top picks, but it's a perfect segue into my fourth and final pick. And just like a trend that we should talk about. And that pick is the Indianapolis Colts with the Simpsons theme.
Yeah.
And so before I dive into it, I think the big thing coming out of last year was the Colts, because they duplicated what the Chargers did. I think they were both Minecraft last year, and the Chargers cleared the IP. The Colts did not and had to take it down. And that's a big lesson you need to learn in social media. And this year they made sure to clear the IP with the Simpsons. The Browns obviously did that with Street Fighter. And so you saw what the result of that is, right? So at the end of the Colts video, and we'll get into what it was, but at the end of the video, it was, hey, Simpsons streams on Disney Plus, and they were promoting it at the end. And with the Browns, it was how you can go and buy the game, where it's available, and then even had a QR code linking to the Capcom Fighting YouTube channel. So you're seeing what it takes to kind of get these almost licensing deals for this type of stuff. And of course, you know, we talked about the Chargers who did it well with Halo, but the Colts, what they did well is they owned up to their mistake from last year. They took shots at themselves several times in the Simpsons video. I think they said that their burgers were cooked in Lucas oil. They had a day since beating the Jaguars. When the Jaguars came up towards the end of the montage, it's Homer going back into, going back into the hedges. So they did a really good job of like making sure those connections were clear. And so I really enjoyed it. And just a redemption story. They went 8 miles on themselves. So props to them for that.
And I thought that the couch gag was great too, with all the big offensive linemen sitting on the couch and saying who's the skinny guy, and Homer's like all flattered by that comment. That was a great one. But yeah, seeing the Disney Plus CTA at the end, I thought it was very effective. I almost expected there to be more within, like, I wasn't sure what to expect when they started showing the clips, like after the intro, of what's going to be more integrated stuff and like more Easter eggs within that, but it was just straight up clips from the show, which it did very well in finding clips that match. And I guess it goes back to the old Simpsons did it, meme or trope over the years that they've done so much that you can find something that so fits every team in the NFL pretty effectively. I mean, even the from the angry dolphin to the UK and just a lot of good stuff there. So a great pick. You took my, I was asking my pick if you didn't take it. So I'm trying to figure out, decide which I want my last one to be. I think I'm going to go with one that I didn't expect to like. I didn't want to like it. It felt weird at times. I'm going to go with the Chiefs with their, QVC with the actor's names are escaping right now.
Rob Riggle.
That's right. I knew it was Rob something. And the sort of weird passive aggressive exchanges between them throughout. I was like, what? It almost was annoying at times, but the jokes were funny. And the more I watched it, the more I started enjoying it. And it didn't necessarily, there wasn't any like overarching theme that I necessarily took away from. We've seen, 90s and shopping style things before, but it was a good use of their talent, I thought. And obviously they, got those, got the talent. Rob Riggle's a well-known Chiefs fan as well. And so we've seen him before at various Chiefs events. So again, it's something that I didn't expect to like, but it served the template well. Here's an opportunity to kind of poke fun at each team and also make sure that we have two funny people and let them kind of be funny and do their thing throughout. So again, one I didn't necessarily expect to like, but one I liked as well. So any thoughts on that? And also any ones that you also want to bring up, in rapid fire form as well?
Yeah, I mean, this is a concept that goes wrong a lot of times, but they did a good job. I mean, Rob Riggle, but also his chemistry with Lisa Gilroy was really, really strong. Their comedic chemistry and just it was funny. And so thank goodness that like lifted that concept. And I agree. I had that in honorable mentions. That was there. Okay. Rapid fire. What else I liked? Have to mention the Las Vegas Raiders. I don't think you get a better stepbrothers duo than Fernando Mendoza and Kirk Cousins. Like that is just a situation where you've landed into the perfect talent. And so, hey, you roll with that. And
that narrative too, as well. We're like, are they going to like they're Fernando Mendoza is trying to take his job, of course. And there could be a very, a mean rivalry, but it shows like, we're best friends and it's awesome. I enjoyed that. As a Raiders
fan. They did a B-side like photo shoot and they were like, hey, shows it proves it's not AI. So they did that and they leaned into that. So I thought that was good. Washington Commanders, just like Bill Kroski Merritt as like Bill Nye, the science guy from Science Fair. Quirky, it worked. They did a good job with SeatGeek getting him into the science fair. The Eagles and Cowboys. The Eagles I really liked because their star player sat down and truly reacted to the schedule. And you got to get some like interesting thoughts. Like Saquon was like really into playing on Thanksgiving and Jalen Hurts, I'm not sure was so much into it or he just didn't really care as much.
That was a long one though, man. That was a long one. I'm not going to lie.
That's my note. It was too long, but I did appreciate what they were able to do. Meanwhile, the Cowboys with all the Tylers, I actually did not put that in my newsletter, but that one was left off the table.
Cowboys B-side too.
That was good.
With the improv, that was all
fun. Yes, the improv was really good. And then last one, quick shout out to the Patriots with the players riding the roller coaster and announcing the schedule. It reminded me, I think it was Atlanta Falcons Hard Knocks. They went to the aquarium on one of their off days and just like seeing players have like kid-like fun, I thought was really strong.
Yeah, no, you definitely called out most of the other ones. I would call out anyway. I it's just some other kind of stray observations from some others as well. Like I thought the Vikings, with the food and all that. Like why I took away of that was almost like their kicker is the main guy on the I didn't know who it was by appearance, and then when I realized it was Will Reichert, I was like, okay. That's your guy. I mean, you can't necessarily put JJ McCarthy out front, I guess, because you don't know if he's going to be your starting quarterback all year. So I thought that was an interesting one, at least. I appreciate the Packers, trying something different with the claymation. And I am curious, like, they come up with the claymation because it was all just so they could make the Clay Matthews pun a little bit, or do they have the claymation idea first and then decide, oh yeah, we have a guy, a former player named Clay that maybe we should bring in as well. I appreciate what the Bucks tried with the Tampa Bay Baywatch. And Baywatch obviously in the news right now with the reboot coming, and Bert Kreischer, an interesting inclusion, but a fun guy. And there were some funny visuals there as well, with stomping on kids' sandcastles or whatnot.
Bert is a big Bucks fan. Bert's a big Bucks fan, so that tracks. Yeah, the Packers was interesting. Their clip, their just like short clip with the nod to Parks and Rec, that actually was my favorite part of the whole claymation theme. So that was a good one.
Lots of fun ones there. We won't do our worst of, because this is a positive show. Although there were some that maybe didn't make the mark quite as much. But every year you're gonna have some that are awesome, some that aren't quite as much. But enjoy the draft. I think both our teams are strong. But I kind of want to get, as we get in the last few minutes here of this special episode, of picking your brain a little bit on how these things come together. Like, I guess take me through the mechanics, the how to's, like, when do these things, and I guess in an ideal scenario, and also in maybe if it's different from what happens in real life, like, when would these things start to be discussed? When would they come together? How are these oftentimes just folded into a larger partnership deal, or are they itemized? Like, give us an idea of how these things work, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I've been in many situations where this is not, there's not a lot of time put into it, just like a couple months, maybe even less. But there are teams that do it well in advance. I believe the Chargers, it's like 6 months in advance. And that was like part of like securing the IP. It takes like a long, long time in some of these situations. You should be thinking about it in advance, whether everyone does or not. But, like I said, many people will think about this as like a one-off moment. It should be thought as like the centerpiece of a larger package. That's how you really do it right, and to maximize the dollars that you're going to get for it. So you should be pairing like the schedule release moment with that, and when the preseason schedule comes out, and every time you have like up next and you're like showing the schedule that way, and anytime you have a schedule update, and the schedule page of your website and your app should be sponsored, or they should have custom widgets for like airlines or hotel companies, to book your hotel or book your flight on the schedule. So you should be looking to make it this larger year-round platform that feels like it's always on and just has like a tentpole in the off season. And that's the way that you're going to get the most dollars for it. I don't think many teams are doing that, but they should be. And then just like from a brand partner standpoint, of course, ticketing is going to be the biggest partner you're going to put on this, because you're ultimately trying to sell tickets. So Ticketmaster had 18 different teams this year. That was triple the next highest, which was SeatGeek after that. And then you see like a lot of like airlines, JetBlue, United, Delta, Allegiant, and travel and tourism, right? We had two newcomers in terms of brands this year in NFL schedule release, and that was Skyscanner with the Dolphins and Experience Kissimmee with the Jaguars. And so both in the travel category makes perfect sense. So that's how you should be really thinking about schedule release.
And are these typically, like, you look at a Ticketmaster or SeatGeek, they're obviously, spending a lot of money with these teams, and they are big partners. Is that generally the best way to go about it? Is like, let's look for the ones who have relevant ties, I guess, to this moment and to the schedule as an asset, as opposed to like, this is an opportunity to attract a new partner or do something with a partner that is not necessarily as well known and needs that awareness bump. Is this an asset that you take to your biggest partners because they're such a big part of your organization now, or is this an opportunity you kind of use as bait to take to some smaller partners to upsell them or to bring new ones in the fold even?
It can be either, right? It just depends on the route you want to go. When you figure out partners who just make a ton of sense, like ticketing and travel, well, then you have the narrative, right? It's like, this makes a lot of sense for you and it resonates. If you're going to someone who may not make the obvious sense for it, like the Tennessee Titans and Shift4, they're fintech, POS kind of partner, right? It's a, hey, look how good good of results we're going to get for you and how relevant you're going to be on everything and all the earned media coverage and the conversation. And so there is a narrative that you can take there. And then to your point, like, yes, you can absolutely use it to upsell a partner and get them to spend a little bit more and give it like a chance to, hey, this thing gets a certain amount of results every year. It's pretty safe. Let's try on this. You'll get that experience of working with us in a digital capacity and start to grow that business. So you can go either route. It's just all about the narrative you use to get there.
Let's talk briefly about budget considerations. And like, what is it ultimately like, if the partner is willing to pay us a lot for this asset, then we can invest more in it. Like, kind of chicken and egg scenario. Like, when you say we're going to do something big, like whatever, like what the Cowboys did with a big shoot, or, the 49ers put a lot of resources into their retro house. So I'm sure, maybe not overly expensive, but certainly some investment went into it, among many others. Like, what are those considerations looking when you're setting budget, and ultimately who makes those decisions? Is that coming from the digital strategy and content team, social media team, or is it coming from the partnership side, or is it a little bit of both?
Yeah, it is a little bit of both. I mean, ultimately, it depends on the organization of like how much they want to invest in budget for that moment. And so the reason why I would tell teams don't skip schedule release is because, especially how popular it is, and if you're in the NFL particularly, it's had such strong results. Like, if you're going to get budget for it, don't give them a reason to take it away. So like, don't sit out, like take a swing and see. And so I think that's important. So you have like, how much budget is the marketing content team putting into it? Then you need to have a conversation as a partnerships person with the content side to say, like, are there more dollars needed? What does that do? Like, does it get us a better concept? Like, what does it bring to cover those costs? Because, you know, partnerships teams are always broad opportunities. Oh, if you just get one partnership, it covers the cost, right? A lot of vendors will come in that regard too, you know, in the B2B space. So you got to be careful relying solely on partnerships, even though they can be such a great resource to bring these things to life. So it all goes back to collaboration with a lot of lead time, because then you're bringing everybody into the mix, you're getting everybody on board. And you have to remember, while schedule release is cool, brands don't buy fast. They're planning years, quarters in advance. And so if you're expecting your partnerships team, it's April and you're trying to sell a July schedule release, the odds of that are low, unless the price is really nice. And that means you're not maximizing the value. So you really should be trying to get this to market anywhere, you know, I mean, you could be selling it a year in advance, right? Schedule release always happens. So you should be having those conversations as soon as you can to maximize the value you can get for it.
Last thing I want to get your opinion on, or your thoughts on here, is both, I guess, a couple of mini things, both use of celebrities and use of IP. I guess on the celebrity front, I invite you to speculate, because I'm not even sure. Like, how these things come together with celebrities? Like, are they getting paid an appearance fee? Are they getting paid a number of hours? Are some of them just fans and they're willing to do it because they, you know, Joel McHale's a diehard Seahawks fan. He can get fillable passes to a game whenever he wants it. I guess, how do those come together? And then kind of a secondary follow up is the IP conversation. Like, when do you need that relationship with the IP owner? Or when can you just take the Step Brothers concept and go balls to the yard, or Napoleon Dynamite, wherever it might be? Or are those kind of open, because open season? So celebrity side and IP side.
Celebrity side, I know some of, but not all of it. So anybody listening, I'm not, you know, not positive, but there are like friends of the team. There's certain celebrities that like are always there. You've got a good relationship. They got tickets. They're being taken care of in some regard, and they're excited to be part of these things. Like, you know who wants to participate, right? My assumption is someone like a Rob Riggle in the Chiefs. Like, he's pretty game if he's available and can do it, right? Like, and they're going to hook him up when he comes to the stadium. So there's certainly relationships there. Then with IP, you know, you definitely need to get the clearance. That probably, not probably, I do know that it comes down to your legal team. And every legal team is different with the amount of risk they're willing to take on. And so you need to also speak with your legal team and see what they're comfortable with early before you invest too much in the concept. So that just goes, you know, legal team to legal team based on their comfort.
Yeah. And we've certainly, I mean, as you talked about earlier, we've seen plenty of missteps over the years. So, every single year, I'm sure everyone gets more and more buttoned up and knows that if we're going to do something with IP, we need to make sure we go through the proper routes and plan in advance. And also there's opportunities to leverage that as well.
Right.
Before we get out of here today, I kind of just want to like have both of us kind of wax on like what we want, what we could see in the future, like where is this going, what are things we want to see, like just some overarching closing thoughts and where we think we schedule release can go moving forward.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that I want to see is teams take schedule release and bring it into the regular season, and not just through schedule content. I believe the Chicago Bulls a few years ago had a Pokemon theme, and they created an opening night t-shirt in that theme.
Yeah.
And it was, both were sponsored by AT&T. And so why not, if you're the Chargers and you're speaking to the Halo team, why not create a recurring giveaway nodding to each of the opponents that you have at home and making some sort of merch out of it and making it a whole season long platform, right? So that's what I want to see. I want to see like the theme you pick shows up everywhere throughout the season in a way that can drive tickets, that can drive new fans and really support the business at large.
Totally with you there. And I know that's something that's near and dear to your heart, and it makes it a more valuable asset and activation and brand play as well. I guess a couple of thoughts, themes for me as well, thinking ahead. Like one on sort of the AI front, I don't want people to start, you know, going balls to the wall with Gen AI necessarily. But I could see because AI is now making things like apps and games so much easier to produce. Like can you create a game that plays off what you did? Like can the Packers create an actual playable game now that's in that claymation theme and all that? And something that, because it's so much easier now, and also, heck, you can fail pretty quickly. And if it doesn't take off, it doesn't take off. But if it does, it becomes a valuable way to be able to access that and be able to you know, activate that further. So as AI becomes more and more, you know, valuable or more and more effective, rather, and software becomes easier to produce, I'm curious to see where that could go. I also, two other things. One is on the sort of in that similar route of like, how can you drive revenue outside of these and the brand activation opportunities that these concepts create? Like one thing that jumped to mind immediately was seeing the, you know, James Winston Van Gogh and the Pictionary contest he was playing on the street with fans. Like could the Giants like sell a limited edition like Pictionary game with football related things to draw or, you know, other things of that nature? Like I could totally see that. Or maybe it's a giveaway, a sweepstakes, and then you can capture data, the fan data that way as well. So that I think could be an opportunity to, and maybe that's just isolated to that example potentially, but that kind of offhand physical product, you know, generation from these as well. And the last thing I'll bring up, and then I'll definitely bounce back to you, is I'm almost not necessarily surprised, but right now we're in a moment when the collectible space is going through the roof. And it doesn't seem to be slowing down right now. So as you have, especially these more novel activations and novel things, like can you auction off or give away some of the items used in these guys release videos that fans are seeing and they're made famous overnight? Like how can, I'm almost surprised that we didn't see some of that. And, you know, I'm sure Darren Revelle and Collector out there saying, yeah, we can help you do that. We can help you create some collectibles and do some giveaways. And maybe it's an opportunity to activate too with a whatnot or with some of these platforms that are growing as well. So those are a few thoughts that I would love to see going forward as well.
Yeah, I think you brought up some amazing points. I think the creating a game or creating a product like that, I mean, it's just like such a great idea. Again, goes back to the proactivity. Like you can build these things pretty quickly with AI, but you still need some time. I think back to the New York Jets a few years ago did a GeoGuessr game. Yeah. Or, you know, they brought in, I forget the creator's name, but, you know, they brought him into GeoGuess everywhere where he went. And we've just seen recently, if you've seen it out on Twitter, the new GeoGuessr game. By Frank Michael Smith. He just launched one and is doing incredibly well, right? So I think you got the right thinking there. That's really smart. You know, the Nashville Predators for schedule release did a thing where they ran a sweepstakes and you had to answer questions based on all the Easter eggs to drive data and also get some prizes with like tickets. I would love to see more builds like that. And then you're absolutely right. More products, scale that IP. Like if you've got it, like at very least, like screen print some shirts, like figure something out, right? When the Titans did the Broadway, you know, interviews and whatever they called the Falcons, which was the incorrect name, like screen printing those. Yeah. If you're now the Falcons did lean into it. I think they even had a whole watch party about it, but creating product off of that in this moment is a smart idea.
Yeah. And you know, something else too, like every panel you hear now, everyone's talking about like the growth and popularity of reaction content. And so I'm almost surprised, like I record your players viewing this content for the first time. Like what are the Chargers players thinking when they see all these Easter eggs in that Halo video or, you know, some of that, or like I mentioned earlier, maybe there's a live Twitch stream when fans can kind of react to it together or talk about it together and isolate the conversation as well. Or a creator kind of goes through and, you know, shouts out all the Easter eggs as well. So that kind of reaction content play, I could also see, you know, a strategy going forward as well. And it extends the lifespan of this content also.
Yeah, you absolutely could do that. I mean, could it be a live show on YouTube right after, and they're taking fan questions, and there's a way to interact with everybody and capture some data and just like really leverage that moment? I think there's certainly some opportunity there. Pushing it back to 8 p.m. it doesn't help your cause on that front, but you certainly there's plenty more extensions that you could go with at this time in the year.
Yeah. Well, as you mentioned earlier, like one of the best schedule release editions, maybe of all time. Just a lot of cool concepts and originality. And hats off to the creative teams that work way too hard on this stuff. But hopefully they can rest and relax now and enjoy all the fruits of their labor. And really appreciate you coming on to discuss things today. If people are not subscribed to the SpawnCon Sports Newsletter, highly recommend it. It's my favorite read of the week. I learned so much from this guy. I cannot pay him enough. In return for it. And of course, Alex is working with several clients now in the greater sports world on their digital strategy, on driving revenue from digital and social with partnership strategy. No one's smarter in the space than that. And it was a privilege to be able to pick your brain today on schedule release concepts, Alex.
Yeah, anybody listening or anybody watching, let us know if you like this. We're definitely down to do more emergency style podcasts all of the Ringer. So let us know if you liked it. We'll do more of it. If so, otherwise, it was just really great to catch up with you, Neil. Appreciate you having me.
Hell yeah. We'll see each other next week in person. I'm looking forward to it.